I don't believe that President Putin, if the Ukraine war ends, is going to come back and try and invade Europe. I don't believe that personally. But I understand I may be wrong about it. And there are many smart people in Europe that I know who think, yes, he will do that. That's why I don't think the government is foolish in saying, we've got to be prepared for the possibility of conflict in the future. But let's be very clear. Without America, we don't win that conflict.
This is my video update on this Wednesday afternoon, May the 27th, coming to you from Moscow. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with a big thank you to everyone that is liking this video, to everyone that is subscribed to this channel. Thank you so much for subscribing to this channel and to everyone that is commenting down below. Big thank you to everyone that is commenting. And of course, we cannot forget about the hyping. Thanks to all who are hyping, liking and a hyping. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's talk about Iran. Let's do an update on what is going on with Iran because we have some positive news, I would say. That points to Iran feeling as if there is some stability that is returning to the country. The internet is being brought back, is being restored. It's not completely restored, but the reports are that there is now internet access after 88 plus days of no internet at all. You do have to use a VPN to access many sites. But the fact that the Iranian government is restoring the internet must mean that they feel that things are back under control and stable. And we also have a statement from the IRGC, which said that they do not believe the United States and Israel will restart military operations against Iran. They said that they remain ready if the US and Israel does decide to attack Iran, but they're saying that they don't think they're going to attack Iran. So two updates that definitely point to something, and that something just may be an interim agreement between the United States and Iran. According to the reporting from Dropsite News, which has been very, very good and very accurate in their reporting of the conflict, they are saying that the U.S. has accepted Iran's red lines in the latest revisions of the ceasefire declaration, but is asking for time to manage domestic public opinion before formally announcing acceptance of the interim agreement. That's an interesting report from Dropsite News. Basically, the United States, the Trump administration, is accepting Iran's terms, but they need time to spin it. How do you spin a defeat into a victory? That is what the U.S. is asking for. That's why they need more time from Iran before they announce the acceptance of this interim agreement, according to Dropsite News. Well, one way that you spin this into a victory, or you try to spin this into a victory, and here's what I think the United States or the Trump administration is trying to do, is you try to throw in the Abraham Accords into all of this, right? You try to get the countries in the region to sign up to the Abraham Accords. And then if you're the Trump administration, you can come out with a statement and say, we have an agreement with Iran. And not only did I negotiate an end to the war with Iran, and we're going to also negotiate a return of the uranium, but I'm such a good negotiator that I've also guided the countries in the region, including Turkey and Pakistan, to sign up to the Abraham Accords. That's how good of a negotiator I am. Of course, if you're the neocons, you go along with this because you can use the demand of the Abraham Accords as a way to sabotage any peace progress, because I doubt that Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, and Turkey are going to allow themselves to be strong-armed into accepting the Abraham Accords. So once they reject the demand to join the Abraham Accords, if you're the neocons, you can tell Trump, you see, the countries do not want to join the Abraham Accords. These countries don't want to join, and so there's going to be no real solution to Iran or to the Middle East. There's going to be no real solution for Israel, so we need to continue this war. So it's become more complicated now that they're trying to throw in the Abraham Accords thing. But I understand where the spin is for the Trump White House. If they can somehow get the countries in the region to sign up to this, then they can declare some sort of negotiated victory from this debacle. And they can avoid having to talk about agreeing to a worse JCPOA, which is effectively what we have going on here, a much worse deal than what Obama had. They don't need to discuss that. If you're the Trump administration, you don't focus on that. You're going to have Hormuz, which is something Obama did not have to deal with, a Hormuz controlled by Iran and by Oman, where countries are going to be paying an environmental protection fee to cross the Strait of Hormuz. That's going to look bad if you're Trump. And Trump was bashing Obama. He has been bashing Obama over the JCPOA for forever now. He was bashing Obama just the other day over the JCPOA. And this is going to be a much worse deal than the JCPOA. You also have Iran, which is demanding that the U.S. shows that they're serious about an agreement by releasing frozen assets. That's not going to look good for Trump. He's constantly bashing Obama about the fact that Obama gave Iran money. Can you imagine what it's going to look like for Trump if he has to release $24 billion in Iran frozen assets? That's going to look awful for Trump. And Iran is also asking, they're also demanding that the conflict in Lebanon stop, that the United States tells Israel to stop. Now, if the United States returns frozen assets and gets Israel to stop the conflict in Lebanon, then for Iran, it means that the United States is indeed serious about a negotiated deal, a 60-day ceasefire, and the negotiations on uranium. And so things will proceed. And so Trump throws on top of all of this, he throws the Abraham Accords so he can get some sort of a win and some sort of a spin, and he is betting on the fact that the countries in the region are such vassals that they will agree to sign up to the Abraham Accords. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think things are going to get even more complicated now, but let's see how all of this plays out. Anyway, that is an update on Iran. And now we get to the big story for today, which is coming from the Financial Times, which is saying that the Board of Peace fund is empty. Remember the Board of Peace? We don't talk about the Board of Peace much anymore. I guess there's a reason why the Board of Peace is not brought up anymore. Well, the Board of Peace, according to the Financial Times, has no money. Now, Trump was saying that all these countries want to participate in the Board of Peace. And the United States is going to collect $7 billion from the countries that are part of the Board of Peace. There was a $1 billion registration fee or entrance fee. I forgot if it was paid during the first year or the second year of being a member of the Board of Peace, but there was that $1 billion fee and $7 billion collected from countries that are members. And also, the United States was going to pitch in $10 billion. Well, the Financial Times is reporting that it's all empty. The accounts are empty. Nothing is in there. Donald Trump's Board of Peace fund is empty. Despite $17 billion in pledges, organization is stuck in limbo with no money flowing to projects in Gaza. The Financial Times claims that the World Bank was going to manage the account, the $17 billion account for the Board of Peace. The money was going to be used for Gaza reconstruction, but according to the Financial Times and the sources that they have spoken with, there is another account managed by JP Morgan. Now, that account, it's a parallel account, which allegedly some money moved into that account, but no one knows much about it. It's connected to the Board of Peace. It's not managed by the World Bank, which was supposed to manage the Board of Peace funds, but it's not very transparent as to how much money was moved into this account or what this account is all about. How is it spending this money? Has it spent this money? What is the amount of money that's been moved into this account? Very, very strange, fishy, very fishy stuff going on here. Not looking good for the Board of Peace. Well, not looking good if you're a member country that has put money into the Board of Peace. Where's my money? Where has it gone? Financial Times is telling me, Mr. Trump, that my money is in some other account. Is that true? Or maybe countries haven't put any money in those accounts. Maybe the United States has put some of its 10 billion into this JP Morgan account. I don't know. I have no clue. The Financial Times has no clue. But anyway, that's what they're reporting. Always keep in mind that we are talking about the Financial Times, not the most trusted of media outlets, but this story is attracting quite a lot of attention. So we move on and we can do an update on Russia's statements. They're warning that the conflict in Ukraine against Ukraine will now be shifting. Russia's going to be shifting its approach towards Ukraine, and they are going to now be targeting decision-making centers, and they're going to be also targeting decision-making centers and military facilities located in Kiev, in the capital of Ukraine, something that they have generally avoided doing. And we have some more clarification as to what exactly the plan is here from the Russian military. This is courtesy of a senior MP, Andrei Kartapolov, who has clarified that Russia is not going to go after Le Goblin Verd or the parliament, the Rada. The reason that they're not going to go after Le Goblin Verd or the parliament is because they're not really making any decisions. So there's no need to go after those who make no decisions. The real decisions are being made by, well, the military decisions are being made by the command centers and military officials hiding in those command centers. And according to Kartapolov, that is what the Russian military is going to go after. Decision-making centers are underground, fortified military command and control centers, as well as bunkers used by the Ukrainian security services and leadership, said Kartapolov, himself a retired colonel general and former deputy defense minister. So no going after Le Goblin Verd, no going after Ukrainian political officials, parliamentarians, the Rada. They're not going to touch any of that. What they are going to focus on is command centers where the military is hiding out, where the military decisions are made. That is what the plan is, according to this Russian MP. So we have a lot of discussion about Konstantinovka. That is back in the news. The Ukraine front line is back in the news, and it looks like Russia is very close to now capturing Konstantinovka. They are making accelerated progress in this very heavily fortified, very large but very important city. So expect an announcement out of Konstantinovka very, very soon, maybe the next couple of weeks. We had British Storm Shadow missiles, two Storm Shadow missiles hit Rostov and also hit the central bank, I want to say in Sevastopol, I believe. So British Storm Shadow missiles were launched. They are back. We haven't heard anything about Storm Shadow missiles for a couple of months. And they targeted, according to Ukraine, they targeted a facility in Rostov, and they also went after a financial center. We also have drones. More talk about drones, but this time drones over Belarus. 100 drones over Belarus in the last week. So remember the Green Goblin whining and crying and talking about Belarus getting involved in the conflict and warning Belarus about preemptive strikes if it gets involved in the conflict or if some sort of an operation is launched towards Kiev from Belarus. That was all last week from Le Goblin Vert. Well, it looks like what we really had going on is drones flying over Belarus. 100 drones. Belarus says over 100 Ukrainian drone incursions recorded in the past week. Security official says some incidents may have involved attempts to target border infrastructure. So Ursula is in Lithuania. She is showing solidarity and support with the Baltic states. She posted on X, "I'm in Vilnius to send a clear message. Europe stands in full solidarity and unity with Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania, and we are stepping up our support because when Baltic states are being tested, Europe as a whole is being tested." She loves to use the word clear. Clear message. Let me send a clear message. Let me be perfectly clear. I think that's Ursula's second favorite word. Her favorite word is tatters. Her second favorite word is clear. Let me send a clear message to Russia. If you mess with the Baltics, you mess with Europe. That's Ursula's message. She announced the 2021st sanctions package. Officially announced that Europe is putting together another sanctions package. And this sanctions package will not only target the shadow fleet and target maritime services, but according to Van der Pirate, this 21st sanctions package will be aimed at lowering living standards in Russia. She's going to try and go after the living standards of Russian citizens. That is what the 21st sanctions package is going to focus on. We are already preparing a new sanctions package against Russia so that Russian citizens feel the consequences of the war in their daily lives. She also noted that the 90 billion in funding, the 90 billion gift, not a loan, a gift to Ukraine has been approved. And the first 6 billion will be dished out in June. And she's going to also give another 1.5 billion to the Baltics as well. Now, the 6 billion, the first tranche of the 90 billion that will be given to the Green Goblin, will be focused on drones, on making drones. And then we have 1.5 billion, which will be given to the Baltic states so that they can deal with the Ukrainian drones over their airspace. Interesting way to allocate money, huh? It's got to be good to be on the inside of of the EU Cool Kids Club. Must be really good to be an insider. Really good. 6 billion to Ukraine for drones, and 1.5 billion to the Baltics to fight the Ukrainian drones, defend against the Ukrainian drones. They got a good thing going on there in Brussels, a really good gig going on. The Financial Times is also reporting that the whole ammo thing that the Czech Republic was doing, remember that, the slush fund, where countries would give their ammunition and then they would get reimbursed by the European Union, or they would go out and buy very expensive ammunition, and then the EU would reimburse them. That whole scheme is collapsing, according to the Financial Times. They are reporting that another 9 countries have pulled out of the Ukraine Ammunition Coalition. Yeah, they're running out of money to purchase the very expensive ammunition, or they just don't have the ammunition from their stockpiles. They've been completely depleted. So it's both of those things that are going on, and this has led to 9 countries now dropping out of this scheme that the EU put together. What a beautiful church. We have Bild reporting that Merz may be on his way out. The CDU, Merz's party, they are discussing in small groups a Merz replacement. Is it possible to replace BlackRock Merz? I don't think he can be replaced. Can he be replaced? They're discussing it. This is not a coup. According to Bild, this has nothing to do with a coup. What we have are discussions taking place, and they're trying to avoid any kind of election or snap elections. According to Bild, the CDU can replace Merz with a no confidence vote. No confidence in Mr. BlackRock Merz. And then you can move him out and move someone in. And the reason they want to get rid of Merz, or the reason the CDU is not happy with Merz, is because of his approval rating. His very, very, very low approval rating. So we could be seeing Merz on his way out in Germany. Let's do a clown world. And we can wrap up today's video. I think I have a bunch of clown worlds. Let's see, where should we begin? Let's stick with Europe, with the EU. And they have a potential list of 3 more mediators in negotiations with Russia. 3 new mediators. They're looking for someone to speak with Putin, the Europeans. They claim they're winning this war. They're about to launch a 21 sanctions package, which will cripple Russian citizens, make them feel the war, according to Ursula. But they're also scrambling for someone to represent the EU in possible talks with Russia. The names that are being floated out there this time around are the new three are Costa, the former president of Finland, Niinistö, and Jean-Claude Juncker, the man who used to have Ursula's commission president position. Gosta, I think the Russians are not even going to know who that is, right? Hey, hey, Mr. President Putin. Yes, Peskov. The EU is proposing that Gosta become the negotiator. Who's that? who's Gosta? I don't know. I don't know who that is, but that's who they're proposing. Gosta's the number two in Europe. Some people say he's actually the number one. He's the leader of what, the European Council, the EC, or right? Yeah, he's the council president, and Ursula's the commission president, or something like that. Anyway, he doesn't say much. He doesn't do much, right? And I don't think Russia's going to even know who this guy is if he is indeed pitched as the negotiator. The former president of Finland, they're not even going to consider that. And then you have Jean-Claude Juncker. I'm all for that. I'm all for Juncker becoming the negotiator. Remember Juncker when he was the commission president? Yeah, he was fun. He was funny. That's for sure. There were rumors that he was hitting the bottle hard. Just rumors. But there was one time where there was an EU meeting, and boy, was Juncker just hugging everybody at this EU meeting. All the world leaders were coming to greet him, and he was just hugging them. I love you, man. I love you. And there's an image of him and Orban, and he's just hugging Orban, and he's just laughing with Orban, and Orban's like, man, what's this guy on? Yeah, Juncker would be interesting. He would be very interesting. Anyway, let's talk about Ferrari. And they launched their new Ferrari, which my understanding is that it was designed by Apple. Is that true? Ferrari designed by Apple. It's a mess. I think one of the top executives of Ferrari even lashed out at the design. He said, I don't even want to look at the car. I don't want to see the car. Ferrari lost something like $3 billion from the launch in their stock, in their market cap. Complete disaster, the launch of this car. It's an EV. I didn't mention that. It's a full electric Ferrari in a sky blue, or not even like a sky blue. I wouldn't even call it a sky blue. But not a Ferrari color. It's called the Luce. And a lot of people are talking about the Luce. Doesn't look like a Ferrari, that's for sure. Not sure what it looks like. We have Tikhanovskaya, the Juan Guaido of Belarus. She posted an image of her entry card into Ukraine, her entry certificate into Ukraine, where it says President of Belarus. As she entered Ukraine to meet with Le Goblin Vert, she got an entry certificate or an entry card, which described her as the President of Belarus. And she's very proud and very happy about that. So she actually posted it on social media. You see, it's all make-believe. It is all make-believe. She's the make-believe president who traveled to Ukraine to meet the make-believe president of Ukraine. It's all make-believe. They even have certificates that they give them, and they are called president. I bet you, as she was meeting with Le Goblin Vert, they drank tea. But it wasn't real tea. It was tea with air. It was air in the tea. It's all make-believe. All theater. So the BBC put out an article, and I'll wrap up the video with this. They put out an article with the title, Can the EU Find a Russia Whisperer to Mediate an End to War in Ukraine? It's a picture of Le Goblin Vert with Stupidy Stube. Can the EU find a Russia whisperer? Oh, the titles they come up with. Yeah, is Stupidy Stube that whisperer? Or is it Jean-Claude Juncker? Or is it Angela Merkel? Who's going to be the whisperer? I'm going to end my video there. TheDuran.locals.com. We're on X. We're on Rumble. We're on Telegram. Go to the Duran shop. Pick up some merch. And I will see everybody tomorrow. Take care.